That's a little bit, you said sure enough, but I mean, that sounds a little early. I've been hearing like 5 to 7 days more.
Well, it can happen very quickly, actually. 24 to 48 hours is not so uncommon, but you're right. In people with less bulk disease, sometimes it takes about 5 to 7 days before those symptoms appear. And I've seen it that way as well. This guy had a marrow packed with leukemia, and I think maybe these T cells actually were quite active. So he started having fevers. He was okay, but about, I would say about 24 hours later, we noticed that he was starting to have some word-finding difficulties. He seemed a little less responsive, a little less sharp.
And you thought it was kind of beyond the fact that he had a fever. Was he hypotensive?
He was not hypotensive. And there are specific modifications or additions that one implements at the time of high fever if it's persisting. And he did receive a dose of tocilizumab, which is the anti-IL-6 antibody, which is important for mediation and modulation of the cytokine release syndrome. And his fevers were actually improving a bit, although he was still quite febrile, not hypotensive. But then his mental status really started to deteriorate. He became almost catatonic very quickly. We had already implemented, actually, high-dose steroids.
Could I just clarify, too, because I've heard this story before. When you say catatonic, in other words, he wasn't somnolent, or was he somnolent encephalopathic, or more sort of a aphasic type?
It was sort of a combination. Initially, he was more aphasic. He was sort of awake. He would look around, but he was not speaking. And then later, it was much more an encephalopathy.
Because I've heard, you know, about this aphasia. I don't know. Is it really specific to CAR T?
I don't know. I've never actually seen anything like this before. Although blinatumomab, you can see something similar. I've seen it a couple of times. So it is probably a cytokine-mediated effect. But this is so dramatic. And it's very frightening because, you know, of course, we've read about the cerebral edema, the rapid cerebral edema that can occur.
I was going to ask you, did you image him and did he have any cerebral edema?
He did not. He did not have cerebral edema. And we repeated his spinal tap and there were no cells. But interestingly, the inflammatory component in the CSF was incredibly prominent.
Really?
Yes.
So what, T cells?
There were lymphocytes in the CSF. And his CRP at the time was probably over close to 100, I believe.
Wow.
And so he was clearly having an incredibly active cytokine-mediated storm. And, you know, although the CNS issue has not yet been completely defined in terms of what's going on up there, I can only imagine that it is completely inflamed in the meninges.
Were you saying to yourself, because I don't know exactly how much correlation there is between cytokine release or the CNS problems and benefit, when you saw this, were you saying, like, that's a good thing, hopefully?
Yeah, well, they say that there has to be, in the literature that I've read and talking to some of the people who've really done a lot of this work, that you almost have to have a little bit of that in order to be, it's sort of a biomarker for response.
Right. That's why I asked, because I sort of have heard it. So that's the part where it got very frightening, I guess.
Very, very frightening. And he became completely encephalopathic. And then he ended up getting intubated.
Wow.
In part for airway protection.
Wow.
Yes, this was about 4 to 5 days after the initial infusion. And shortly thereafter, in part from trauma, from really nothing that we should probably advertise, he had trauma from an NG tube that was placed.
Wow.
Which shouldn't have probably been done at all for airway protection because he had a bad nosebleed. He was intubated because he was not able to clear his secretions.
Wow.
He then, about 72 hours after that, got extubated, but was completely somnolent, not awake. And I didn't know what the course would be. I had spoken to other people around the country, including the folks at Memorial Sloan Kettering who helped develop this Juno CAR T. And they said, oh, just continue the steroids. It can last a couple of days, maybe a week. And this just kept going on and on. He was not able to eat. We eventually did put in a PEG, actually, And we were able to support this guy. His fever subsided very rapidly, actually.
What was going on with the disease while this was going on?
So this is really interesting. He became very cytopenic. He was already very cytopenic, became more cytopenic, but a marrow assessment showed no evidence of disease shortly, like I think day 8 or day 14. Yeah, no evidence of disease, no recovery yet. But gradually, over the course of about 3 weeks, his counts did recover. His counts actually recovered before he woke up. And we were very worried. I did not know if he was going to ever wake up. And it literally lasted about 4.5 weeks.
Wow.
I've never seen anything like it. We eventually tapered off the steroids because I knew we couldn't keep that kind of dosing of Dex going on.
Did you give him any more tocilizumab?
We gave quite a number of doses of tocilizumab, but it doesn't get into the CNS. So it's not an effective therapy there. And so we really were just giving it time and hoping that he might wake up because there was really nothing on imaging that suggested that he might not. And eventually, one day, he actually did kind of just wake up. It's almost like Sleeping Beauty. And he was not normal by any means, but he was pretty aware of his surroundings. And he was so, of course, debilitated, having been bedbound for 5 weeks nearly, even though during that time we had the therapist working sort of with him to at least maintain some mobility. He eventually went to rehab for several weeks, very, very debilitated, and he recovered completely. He's been in a complete remission with no evidence of minimal residual disease and was able just last month to go to Hawaii on a family vacation.
Wow.
He's farming again.